Hi, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton for the James Dobson Family Institute. Our ministry is completely supported by people like you, our faithful listeners. And right now, every dollar you graciously give will be doubled. That's right. Every dollar you give right now will be doubled. That means a 20 is 40, a 40 is 80, 80 is 160, and more. Your financial support, it fuels our ministry so that we can continue to share new broadcasts with you. Would you take a moment right now and maybe reach out to us? You can visit us by going to drjamesdobson.org, drjamesdobson.org, or pick up the phone, call us right now, toll free, 877-732-6825. That number again, 877-732-6825. We'd love to hear from you.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk, the radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Thanks so much for joining us for this broadcast. Today, you're going to hear the conclusion of Dr. Don Bartlett's powerful testimony, which we began on yesterday's broadcast. Don has shared how he was bullied as a child due to his birth defects and the perceived mental limitations that came along with them. In addition to being picked on, Don was also abused by his alcoholic father. The pain of that became so intense, Don thought he would have to take matters into his own hands. Well, you can certainly hear the hurt that plagued him as a young boy and that continues to haunt him even today. I'm wondering if any of you have ever felt the same way. You know, in the media and the news reports, we see lots of stories of people who respond violently to their mistreatment by others. When life is full of emotional scars, like what Don Bartlett experienced, it can be a lot to bear. Today's program is full of restoration that we hope you can identify with and apply to your own life as well. Here now is the conclusion of what we call Macaroni at Midnight on this broadcast of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
And in my heart, I began hating the man who brought me into the world. And in my hate, in my hurt, I went into another world. And as I went into the world with juvenile delinquency, I became one of the most effective juvenile delinquents my hometown will ever remember. And as I moved into that world, I began running away until one night I could run no further. They threw me in jail. And as they were going to send me away, a man walked in the back door of City Hall, and I heard him say to the judge, "Don't send him away. That boy is my son." I'd never heard that before. They sent me home with my father. I really wasn't sure I wanted to go home with him. But as I walked home with my father, I began thinking, everything will change. He's walking with me, side by side. What every child in America wants is an adult walking with him, side by side. My father won't change. He called me his son. And as we walked into our home, my father took me, and again in his hurt, he hurt me in such a way that I can't share with you. But that night, I went to the wall. I took the rifle. And as I aimed the rifle at the man called my father, I remember thinking as a child, "You told them you helped me, but you never helped me. You hurt me, and you hurt me, and I hate you." And as I went to pull the trigger, my mother ran and hit me on the face. I dropped the rifle, but I never dropped my intention one day to kill my father. And at that moment in my life, a woman from down in the valley came into my world and completely changed the world around me. And when I met the woman for the first time in my life, I began moving away from her. I wasn't sure. She might laugh at me. She might hurt me. I began moving away. And as I began moving away from her, she asked me to do a very simple task. She wanted me to wash her automobile. I'd never washed an automobile in my life. I began moving further away from her. And as I moved further away from her, I'll never forget the moment. She came into my life and actually put her hand on mine. And as she touched me, I remember thinking, I wonder why she holds me. Her hand is so different than mine. I'll pull my hand away. But then she hung on tightly, and yet gently, she took my hand over to a round knob on the outside of her house. And with her hand on mine, she began teaching me how to turn on that knob. And as I turned on the knob, I saw for the first time in my life, coming out of her house, running water. I was overwhelmed. I jumped back many, many feet. I saw the woman jump back even further, but she came back into my life. She put her hand on mine for the second time in that moment. She brought it back to that round knob, and I began learning. I began understanding. I began comprehending the phenomenon of running water. And then she put her hand on mine for the third time in that moment, and she showed me how to wash her automobile. She made me wash it four times in one afternoon. I hated her immediately. I didn't want her to touch me ever again, but she came back into my world, and in the palm of my hand, she put a whole quarter. I couldn't believe it, a whole quarter. I don't have to steal it. I don't have to hide it under my tree. They'll never throw me in jail. My father won't be angry. And if I put the quarter in my pocket, something happened here. Something happened here. I became motivated. I became energized. I wanted her to touch me one more time, but she touched me for a lifetime when she looked at me and she said, come into my home. And as I walked into her home, I began learning that education does not occur only in a classroom. But as I walked into her home, I began learning the significance of that long word called electricity. As she went in every room, flipping on a button, I walked behind her, flipping on a button, plugging in a wire. Her electricity bill went sky high. But I began understanding that long word, and then the woman said, come into my dining room. And as I walked into her dining room, I began learning about the significance of nutrition and learning when in front of me, she had a table with a long white linen tablecloth, and on it she had food I couldn't believe. She had T-bone steak. She had mashed potatoes with gravy. She had some kind of dessert she called upside down, something or other. I couldn't understand that at all. And then I wonder, why does she have one glass for water, another glass for juice, another glass for milk, silverware on one side of me, silverware on the other side of me? I thought the woman had a problem. I couldn't understand her world at all. She could not understand my world. But she kept touching me, helping me learn. When she watched me take the food and push it down that hole, she wondered why. She knew nothing about this. And then I began teaching her, look, look, you, look, hole, And when she looked at the hole, she began looking on the inside of me. And out came her hand, putting it in my mouth, helping me learn how to move my tongue, taking a fork, putting the food in between my teeth, and helping me learn how to have the right movements. I want to tell you tonight, earning my PhD was nothing compared to learning how to chew my food. Day after day, week after week, touching me, believing in me, helping me, motivating me, loving me, wanting me, I began learning to chew. And then she began telling people, he can learn, he can read, he writes me notes. I know he can learn. And they laughed at her. They wouldn't believe her. And so she continued for years feeding me, clothing me, touching me, until one day she told me, you have learned many things. Now you must learn to speak. I didn't have her commitment. I didn't have her motivation, but she put a little machine in front of me, and in her living room, she turned on a brown wooden box. I wondered about that box for many, many years, and as she turned on that box, with a knob and a wire in the wall, a picture came in my eyes. I couldn't believe it. And one of the first pictures that ever came in my eyes was a picture of Donald Duck. And as I heard Donald Duck say, quack, I turned off the box. And she turned on the little machine, and she told me, you must learn to speak, or they'll laugh all the time. And with her hand on me, with her arm around me, always feeding me, clothing me, loving me, I began watching her, and she began learning more from me. And finally, one night, macaroni at midnight became real. When I looked on the wall, and there was a clock, said almost midnight, I couldn't wait to run home. And as I ran home to my home, my father was there, my mother was waiting, and I struggled until finally, after I showed my parents that I had learned how to chew my food, then I showed them that I was learning how to make a sound that sounded almost like a real made one mistake that night. I knew it right away. I used my hands to pull down my jaw. The woman had taught me never to use my hands when I speak. Look at me now. But that night, my father heard, my mother understood, and they began changing. And I began changing. And then I watched the community. The teachers began changing. The preachers began changing. The policemen began changing. Watching the woman, touching me, believing in me. The whole community began changing. And finally, one day, the woman told me, you have learned many things. Everybody is talking about you. Now they know you can learn. Now they see you changing. But I want you to learn one more thing. But she opened a book called the Bible. I couldn't understand why. And as she opened that book to Matthew 7:7, she began teaching me about three little words, ask, seek, and knock. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't believe it. I wasn't ready for it. But she told me, one day, one day it will mean something to you. And I never forgot the three little words. And I never forgot the woman closing her eyes, praying day after day. I couldn't understand it. I wondered why she prayed. She opened her book. Every time they laughed at her, she opened her book. Every time I couldn't make it, she opened her book. And I wondered why she told me one day, you'll understand. With her help, the whole community sent me away when I became 17. They saw the potential. They put me in a hospital. They gave me a new nose. They gave me more material under my nose. And then when I became 17, they put a round steel plate in the top of my mouth. And then they gave me speech therapy for 6 years. And when I went back to my community, I began speaking clearly. I began learning at a phenomenal rate. And when I graduated from high school, with the help and the love and the patience of that one woman, I became the first handicapped Indian to graduate valedictorian of my high school class. And I never forgot those three little words. They haunted me. When I graduated from high school, I went on to the university. There I became a social worker, went on to another university, became an educator. And in those years, I ran away from my childhood. I ran away from my heritage. I ran away from my family. I ran away from the memories of Macaroni at Midnight, I thought. And as I ran away, I went into worlds that I won't talk about tonight. But finally, I came back to the white man's world, and I met a woman who happened to be white, who happened to come from a very wealthy General Motors family in Detroit, Michigan. And my wife was learning to be a special education teacher. And when I met my wife-to-be, I married her for her beauty, for her money, and the power of her family's name. But my wife and the white woman in my childhood had one thing in common. They were both devout Christian women. My wife looked inside of me. She married me. She loved me. She tried to understand me for 6 years. Wondering what made me run. Why couldn't I talk about my family? What was I running from? And then she invited me to a small church in Minnesota. And as I walked into that church, I felt like the white woman of my youth had multiplied into 100 people. People came around me, loving me, touching me, feeding me, believing in me, wanting me. And finally one night, a man came behind the podium. He opened that black book to Matthew 7:7. As I heard the man talk about those three little words, I remember thinking, where have I heard that? What does that mean? And then the woman came back to my memory, and I remember her telling me, one day you'll understand. I went home with my wife, I couldn't sleep, and the next morning, in my automobile on a major highway, I turned off the car, I rolled down the window, I looked up and I cried out, God, if you're up there, then I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And at that moment, Jesus Christ came into my life. And as I felt the hate leave me, I felt an overwhelming love fill me. And then I felt the arms of my Heavenly Father surrounding me. And as I became a born-again Christian, I began learning to love for the first time in my life. I began understanding the love of the white woman in my childhood. I began understanding the love of my wife, who looked inside of me, who wanted me to change, and she prayed like the white woman for 6 long years. And finally, as I began learning to love my wife, I began learning to love my children. I began learning to love the man called my father. And as I began loving my father, I began praying for him. Now, I'd like to challenge you to remember that as a child, I needed you to look on the inside of me. I needed you to not only look at the outside of me, for on the inside, I am very much like you. I feel pain and I know hurt. When she put me in that room, I wanted to be among the children. And when my father hurt me, I wanted him to love me. And when they ridiculed me, I wanted the teachers to help me. Tonight, I want you to know that I need you to teach me. I need you to understand me. I need you to help me learn how to survive in our world. And finally, I challenge you to remember 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. In the love of our Lord Jesus Christ, I challenge you, as you return to your schools, to look at each child, to look on the inside of that child, to reach out and touch every child. And then I challenge you to look for the child who has special needs. I challenge you to remember the woman who touched me, and through her patience, through her love, and through her followership of Jesus Christ, helped me to learn the most important lesson of all. I challenge you tonight to reach out and touch that child who hurts on the inside. And by looking to you for that Christian love, one day he or she may be able to come and share their memories. I thank God for the woman in my childhood. I thank God for the woman in my adulthood. But I thank God most of all for Jesus Christ, who loved me, died for me, forgave me my sins, and taught me to love all men. Thank you.
I'm Roger Marsh, and I want to thank you for tuning in today to hear Dr. Don Bartlett's testimony here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Now, if you missed the first part of this story on yesterday's broadcast, you'll find a link for it at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto the broadcast page. If you've been moved by Don Bartlett's testimony, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 877-732-6825. Once you've connected with us, choose the feedback line option to leave a comment Or if you'd like, you can talk with one of our representatives. They'll be happy to pray for you and with you, or to help you find any of our other useful resources as well. Again, our number is 877-732-6825. Well, that's all the time we have for today and for this week here on Family Talk. Thanks so much for your prayers, and we ask that you continue to support us in any way you can. Be sure to join us again on Monday as we begin the replaying of our best broadcast of 2018. All throughout the month of December, we'll bring you some of Dr. Dobson's favorites from this past year. You will not want to miss any of these programs, so be sure to tune in again Monday for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks again for listening, and God's blessings to you all.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.